Thankfulness seems to give room for reflection of all kinds. I have enough to be thankful for, but I'm also contemplative. What's next, and how much can I control what's going on? That suggests a deeper discussion than this one, but it's probably a good one to have, just not today. The Culinary Libertarian Podcast, episode 168.
Welcome to the Culinary Libertarian Podcast, where the philosophy is free, but the food is on you.
Hello, folks. Dan Reed here, the Culinary Libertarian. Welcome back to the podcast. Happy to have you here. Happy to be here. Fat Thursday is done, and it's on to Christmas. Useful gifts that take up little space and use no batteries are well received. So, give my cookbook, Cooking for Comfort, and then get yourself invited over for a plate. Find the link to the Amazon listing on today's show notes page, culinarylibertarian.com/168. It's Cyber Monday, so you are expected to be spending your fiat currency on things you and others don't need and have no place to put. Okay, I'm a bit cynical about consumption these days. Former guest and online friend John Moody is a homesteader. He's been posting a lot of content about the living a life of production, not consumption. In part, it is to share his vision of what being prepared means, and that includes self-sufficiency. In John's case, that's pretty much total, but that took time, and that's another show. On this post-Thanksgiving Monday, I want to do a sort of year-end review before it's expected. Then it's boring because everybody's doing it. When I started to think cooking was a future, I had no idea what I was getting into. I knew no one who owned a restaurant. I knew no one who cooked in a restaurant. Food TV wasn't a thing. I knew nothing of what cooking as a job entailed. The closest thing to cooking I had seen was Graham Kerr and Julia Child. Cooking requires a lot, or it doesn't. Like many things, you can do well or do poorly, and mostly that's up to you. Once I got into cooking school, I learned all kinds of terms and words. There are many kinds of cooks and various stations, and each station in the classic brigade system has a leader. There's a chef and a sous chef and maybe a garde manger and a saucier and a baker and a prep cook, probably more of all of those things, maybe a catering or a bakery department and a butcher. You can be an amazing butcher, but not mix a muffin. To be a chef, you have to do all those things, but really, you have to manage and lead the people who are doing those things in those places. What started as a simple idea, I want to cook, was really an ill-informed idea. I just didn't know enough to form a good idea about what it was that I meant and what kind of cook I thought I wanted to be. When I started thinking about what libertarian means, I had little to go on. Oh yeah, there are more than enough things to find, but not all of it is of the same quality. It's kind of like recipes. You can find recipes anywhere. You'd find them standing in the checkout line at the grocery store. I've been pretty plain that recipes alone are rather worthless unless you have no clue. Then they are important. A recipe that calls for all canned ingredients opened up and dumped into a pot and boiled, seasoned, and served might produce something palatable and pleasing to the diners. The person who has never peeled a carrot or held a knife or turned on the stove may feel that this is an accomplishment. It's a step in the right direction, at least. If that's the best our cook can manage, then that's a good start. It is easy to see how there is room to make that dish better, and better means getting ingredients closer to their original form. Decide you want to think like a libertarian, and where do you start? Now, the libertarians listening to this might be laughing and shouting at the audio. For the unaffiliated or other affiliated, that's a good question. The answer isn't plain. A Google search will produce a lot of content, and the first sites are a place called Cato. Hey, I know that name, you might say. He was a smart guy or something way back in ancient someplace. Must be good, right? Well, what the Cato Institute is or is not is another show. The point here is that the wealth of content is massive, and not all of it is the same quality. My road was a winding one, and it started in Tallahassee, where I really heard the term libertarian from a coworker and some explanation about what it was. Well, it turns out this guy was off the mark a little bit, but that's not really for my, it's in my opinion. Who cares? Doesn't matter if he is or if he isn't. I did find my way to Milton Friedman, and a little clip from his appearance on The Donahue Show explaining greed. And then some other points on other videos about some basic economics, and it was off to the races. In digging through the content of liberty and thinking about government and whether or not it is useful or necessary, I am at a bit of a philosophical crossroads. Michael Bolden of the 10th Amendment Center and Michael Meharry, who writes for the 10th Amendment Center and who both have been on the show, seem to come from the position that the Constitution is the thing we have, and good, bad, or indifferent, working with it and within it, is the right course. Both Mikes have made careers from this position. Bolden founded the 10th Amendment Center, and the work they do on many levels in many states is impressive, and, as it happens, it's necessary to keep the people informed about the abuses of the government. They are many. Meharry has written articles for a decade, as well as Constitution, Owner's Manual, the book he wrote and was discussed on a previous episode. I'll put links to that show and the other shows on the show notes page, culinarylibertarian.com/168. Both Mikes come from the Take the Constitution as Ratified position. The states made the general government, so the states have the power to control the center. Well, you know how well that worked out. 4 years and it was shot. I recently spoke with Legal Man. Legal Man's podcast, The Quash, is his platform to discuss what he sees, and what he sees is a rigged system, and the people always lose. You can't vote your way out because, in almost all cases, the laws that exist, you didn't consent to in the first place. The only solution is to decentralize, secede from the giant federal government, to take the power away from the center and put it back to the states. And then keep going until you get to wards or precincts or whatever it is you want to call them that is the right size, where you can consent to the things you want to have happen and you can opt out of the things you don't want to have happen. In this current system, good luck trying to opt out of Build Back Better. Here's my problem. What I want is to be left alone. That's not going to happen. Voting for anyone will not make that happen. The liberty to live as I want with the two rules that A, I can't hurt other people, that means no offensive force, and B, I can't take this stuff, no stealing, seems simple enough, but it doesn't exist because there's no power for the sociopaths who want to control others. If Republicans and Democrats and libertarians are politics, just like cooking is all food, then where are the specializations? The bakery also has pastry cooks. Now, not all the pastry cooks make croissants. Some are specialized at viennoiserie, and that's a hard word for me to say, but that's what their main focus is. Some are specialized in chocolate, some make tarts and torts, and some do sugar showpieces. I can't accurately or genuinely identify the subcategories of Republicans and Democrats, so I'm not going to try. Libertarians have a wide range of views in that big umbrella of libertarian. To add to the confusion, some of them reject the term libertarian. I can't really speak to why, since there's a good chance there are as many reasons as there are people who make that choice. My hunch is that it carries baggage that looks a lot like organized government, and that hasn't really worked out too well. Ever. Some of the terms used for the various groups, and this is incomplete, are anarchists, voluntarists, agorists, minarchists, anarcho-capitalists, and then there's even the confounding thick and thin libertarians and the left and right libertarians and more, and in some cases they're combined in weird combinations, and it doesn't get easier. I said all I really want is to be left alone, but that was incomplete. I really have no interest in telling others what to do or how to live. How should I know? As long as they harm me not and don't take my stuff, how they choose to live is of little concern to me. I've not figured out where I fall here yet, between the Constitution is the thing we have to work with, and the Constitution has failed to... It's the Spooner argument, has failed to secure or create the government it set out to do. So, I may not know this for some while. Any answers or resolutions to that question seem irrelevant in the state of the world now. Governments want to overlord with what seems like the same eagerness the kids on Halloween have in their scurry to find the house with the full-size candy bars. They'll tackle each other to make sure they get there first. And for what? Well, candy, of course, but why are the governments doing this? What's in it for Australia? What do they get out of this? The cynical answer is cash. But if you lock the country and the world down, where do you go and what do you buy? If you watch the mainstream news, you may not know that the World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab has big plans for the world. Big plans. In related news, I think it was last week that I read the various databases for reporting vaccine incidents around the world has exceeded 2 million incidents. That's pretty alarming for something that's supposed to be safe and effective. Insert Kermit sipping tea meme here. If we've learned anything about government from the food policy of the U.S., it is to do exactly the opposite of what they say they recommend. Politics is easy to discuss, but the weeds part of it isn't really my bag. There are a lot of shows covering it on all levels, and frankly, they do it better. Dave Smith and Pete Quinones do a better job than I can, but on the upside, I'm probably a better cook than either of them, so it works out. The food part of those Schwab big plans is the great food transformation, which I've discussed, and it's ramping up. There's a lot there to discuss, and it's as dreary as can be, but it's also important. One key item is know your farmer or become your farmer. I have a hoped-for interview for a show about garlic. I'm pretty excited about that, and I do hope everything works out for it to happen because she sounds absolutely amazing. And there's, and just looking at the webpage, I thought I knew about salt, and holy moly, I thought I knew about garlic. No, I don't. I don't know. I admit complete ignorance about garlic, except I know what it looks like. But holy smokes, I hope this works out. This will be fun. I also really wanted to do an episode about olives. Mort Rosenblum would be the easy, best choice. But it seems he's not taking calls or emails or any contact from the outside world. I've reached out to some other folks, so I'll see what happens. There's plenty to talk about, and I want to find the things that aren't downers. There's enough of that, and sadly some of that might be relevant. A local fish hatchery has been revitalized and is producing sturgeon for commercial sale. Well, that would be an interesting episode. I found some in my town, which is how I know this came to be. The fish is better smoked than cooked, in my opinion. But here in the desert, it's kind of exciting having fresh fish pretty close. I'm considering doing bonus content for the Patreon channel. Whatever channel, I don't know what it is. I'm interested in doing what is of interest to you to hear or watch. So let me know. It can be, well, the easy thing is food or baking. It can be liberty. It can be something I know nothing about. If you think that I hunt these things down well enough to regurgitate them, boy, what a poor choice of words. But what interests you is something that you want to listen to, let me know. I'll add the Patreon link to the show notes page. And you can drop me a note, let me know what you'd be willing to support, and stuff. As you can see by the tone, that this is pretty much the end of this episode. It was intended to be short. I have this idea, I want to do an episode on sweet potatoes, but given all of the things that happen for a cooking person during Thanksgiving week, well, that didn't come to be, but it looks like it would be a fun episode to do because kind of like garlic and regular potatoes, there's a lot more there than meets the eye. And I want to do more food ingredient things. So there's plenty to cover that isn't depressing because good Lord, who needs that? Any more than we must tolerate it to be informed. All right, I think I'm going to end there. Thank you for listening and being part of the audience. I appreciate that. I appreciate you very much. That's going to do it. The links I mentioned will be on the show notes page, which is culinarylibertarian.com/168. So too will be the Patreon link there. Support the show, send me a message about what bonus content is interesting to you, and if you have a preference for audio or video, let me know that. I don't know much about what is possible with the Patreon. I think probably more than I think there is, but who knows? I have a lot to figure out. Give the show a like and review on your favorite podcatcher, and please share it on your social media feeds. Have a great week. Get your cookie recipes in order, and I'll see you soon. Music for the Culinary Libertarian Podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.